I am going to be bringing the morning read this month. We're going to start this morning if anyone wants to follow along as I read the scriptures. We're going to start reading in Colossians, the first book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, even of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than of Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. While you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness in which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. I'll hand it over to Roger. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Thanks, John. Wow, I sound very loud. Is it?
Back from the mic a little. I want to remind everybody, in 2 weeks, we have the big Thanksgiving meal. We're looking forward to having you guys up here for it. That's 2 weeks from today. Monday, we'll have our Monday night Zoom. Tuesday, the men will have our Zoom. We meet north and south. This is the first Tuesday, yes. Wednesday, the ladies get together. We're getting together at Carolyn's house this Wednesday down there, and at Cindy's house up here. I believe that's all the announcements. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, praise you for this time, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Should I leave this here? You guys hear me okay on this? All right. I know they can hear me here because I'm shouting all the time. Okay, I just want to go back to one passage that John just read. Of course, we've been talking about God's plan, and we've been talking about his purpose for us. And John just read a passage that I want to go back to. You don't have to turn to this. He just read it. I'll read it to you. It's in Colossians chapter 1, and it says, get the exact right one. Now, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. What's lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, okay? Which is the church. This is the body of Christ, okay? Not like a bunch of individuals, this group. And what's part of the purpose of this group is to prepare ourselves for the wedding supper of the Lamb. So some of the purpose of the group is earthly. It's temporal. It's what's happening right now. It's on this earth. We're trying to do good things, right, for each other. We're trying to fulfill our calling. Those are the things that we're trying to do. The bigger part of what we're trying to do while we're here is prepare ourselves for the wedding supper of the Lamb, because that's our eternal life, right? That's what we will do. We will spend our eternity. I mean, I don't know how. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I know how we're going to spend eternity. All I know is that's what it says. The bride of Christ, the church, is going to be prepared for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that's what we're doing here. And in case you want to know what it means to be prepared or how you get prepared, a nice, simple, condensed, straight-to-the-point version of that is Ephesians 4. We've read it 1,000 times. You want to say, though, let's see, I care about being prepared for the wedding supper of the Lamb. What do I do? Well, read Ephesians 4, and it will tell you what the Lord has given to us. Here's how we prepare ourselves, and it will tell you about the body and the structure of the body and the different engiftments and roles there are in the body. Everybody has a role. Everybody. There's no, you know, this is the boss guy here and here's the two junior boss. It's not like that. Everybody's role is just as important. As a matter of fact, it says that the lesser roles are actually more important. Now, I don't exactly know how that fits together either, but that's what the Bible says. So we're here to find out what is our purpose. That's what the Lord is sending to us right now as a group. I want you to understand your purpose. So I'm kind of touching on that. So let me finish this part that John just read to us. I have become its servant, the servant of the body of Christ, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Remember that part we read? God's manifold wisdom gets made known to all those in the heavenly realms. Well, we're the saints. All right, you might not feel like a saint, but you are. Because why? Because Jesus died for you and you accepted him as your Lord. That makes you a saint. All right, it's not what you do, right? And that doesn't mean we run around doing bad stuff and we're still a saint. It means Jesus, the blood of Christ, makes us a saint, makes us a child of God, makes us a servant. So that's what Paul's talking about right here. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. There's the mystery. So what does that mean? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what does it mean, Christ in you? You can turn with me to Matthew, wait, let me think for a second. No, go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to read something to you. Then I'm going to read something out of Matthew. Then James is going to come and read us a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm just making sure I've got the right scriptures here. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, verse 10 says, Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and they may teach them to their children. So why is this happening? So that we may learn to revere God. Got it? It's pretty simple. Pretty basic. Just remember that. Why is this whole Moses going to the mountain, big cloud on the mountain, Moses' face is, you know, lit up like it's he's seen God. Fire in the bush. Go up to Mount Horeb. Get the two tablets. God burns the tin. Why is all of that stuff transpiring? It's very simple, and it says it right here. Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. That's all it is. Revere God and teach it to your children. Simple. I mean, we got that because we kind of, it's pretty easy to get caught up in the whole storyline, and we've seen the movie and Moses is standing up there holding the tablets and the lightning comes down and cuts the words into the tablet. There's all that stuff. There's the, you know, the golden calf, the people rebelling. There's all kinds of activity going on. But what's important to do is just to remember this simple thing that assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to your children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Now, see this part right here, okay? He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and wrote them down on two stone tablets. Got that? His Ten Commandments. Again, I want to go back to all the sort of the drama part to it. But what are his Ten Commandments? It's just a covenant. It's just a promise. And all it is God saying to us, these are the guidelines I want to give you for your life, and do you promise to keep them? It's that simple. Forget all the rest of that stuff, okay? It's all great. It's all fine. But this is what's happening. And why was he giving them to us? So that we would learn to do what? Revere him. We would learn to revere him. That's what the whole deal was. And pass that on to our children. There's nothing else to it. All God wants us to do is revere him and pass that on to our children. And why am I saying that? Why are we kind of emphasizing that right now? Because in this world, there is so much going on, and we now are in receipt of such a gigantic amount of input all the time. The simplicity of learning to revere God, which is his purpose towards us, can easily get lost. It can easily get lost in the noise, the the volume, the information, this flood of stuff that can easily, I'm not saying it does, but it can easily overwhelm the senses. And it can easily get our mind and heart so caught up in the noise and in the information that we can lose this little tiny thread of contact. Revere me and pass it on to your children. And even in that, revere me, we can grab a hold of what it means to revere God, and we can blow it up into this big thing that we have come to the conclusion is so important. Why? Because of all the noise that comes at us all the time. Well, here's what's important. This is important. This is important. This is important. Oh, yeah, I need to revere God because of this and this and this and this. And it just gets so easy to forget the simple, quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit and of the words of Christ, which we're now going to read, because of all the big headlines of the day, all the big important issues of the day. And they all get turned, you know, not they all, but they can be taken and turned into, well, here's why I need to believe in God, and here's why I need to love God, because look at all this bad stuff that's happening, you know. Sometimes it's really sort of good to distance yourself from the headlines and all of the, quote, bad stuff that's taking place, all right? And all of the, quote, well, these people are bad. This is, it's everything, you know, because here's Jesus, and Jesus is this, and Jesus is that, and I start defining him. There's nothing wrong with defining Christ for yourself. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. That's my point. I'm talking about the simplicity of what the Word says. So let's read it together. Just read part of it. What did God say about the Ten Commandments? It's a covenant between me and you. And what's the purpose of it? Between me and you. Not between all of us, okay? The Ten Commandments is between me and God, and it's just so that I will revere him, and as you'll see in a second, love him. Now, that's so simple, and it's without fanfare, and guess what else? It can cause me to have to really change as a person. That's a part of what it's, you know, We've talked plenty of times about that. Just looking at myself and saying, okay, I just want to be what the Lord wants me to be. I want to listen to the calling that he's given to me. I want to fulfill the calling. It's a lot easier to start looking at the headlines of the world and thinking that that is what I need to attach all of this to. Let's just not worry about it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, please. And the reason I asked James if he would come and read today, he shared some things in Sunday school. He wasn't prepared to teach today. He read some things in Sunday school that I just thought would really fit in well here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. So speaking of noise, all right, let me read this first verse, and let me read 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. So guess what the Sadducees and Pharisees, part of the role they played in the day? They were kind of social media of the day, spiritually. Well, spiritually, legalistically for the Jewish people. What do I mean by that? They were the ones always making the noise. They were always telling people how things were. Well, it means this, and it means this, and watch out for this, and watch out for that. Okay? They were the noise. They were the information bringers. All right? We've got a whole lot more. We've got these guys beat a lot. But that. So see this first verse that I read? Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. So they're, what are they going to do? What are they doing? They're trying to bring something to Christ to prove him wrong or to knock him off the course that he's on. That's what they're here to do. They were just trying to, you know, discredit him. That's what they're doing. They're just trying to discredit him in the eyes of the people because he's starting to gain the interest. He's starting to become the headline. And when Jesus shows up to become the headline and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, instead of the headline being, well, there's not really angels in heaven and there's not even really an afterlife. Okay? Or the headline being, well, this is what this scripture means and this is what, you know, the law means this and the law. Instead of being that kind of stuff and attaching that to your relationship with God, it starts becoming, love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. Oh, that's so simple that I can't really put an agenda forward attached to that. There's no agenda of what I think is important that I can force with those kind of words, right? Which is why I read what John read a few minutes ago. So, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, why did he say that to him? Think about that for just a second. What's the point there? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Why is he asking that question? What's he trying to do? What's he trying to accomplish? He's trying to discredit him again. He's trying to debase his power. He's trying to create questions about Jesus and his credibility. He's trying to come to the crowd and get the crowd to start thinking, well, who is this guy really? Because here we have this expert in the law. Got that, right? This expert in the law in front of a crowd of people asks him a question to which there is really not an answer, right? Because which is the greatest command? To them, there wasn't an answer. Everybody probably had their own opinion. So one person thinks, well, don't murder. That's the greatest one because life is so precious. Well, one thinks don't commit adultery. One thinks don't steal. One, you know, on and on and on, right? Honor your mother and father. All these things are... So you could debate, right? You could debate any answer that's given, right? That's what they would do. And they would come up with this answer. So here's, I mean, the reply of Christ, you already know what it is. I'm going to read it anyway. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything hangs on these two. Now, this is a really important response by Jesus for us because he's telling us right now, yeah, the rest of them follow that stuff too because, Dave, you made a covenant. You said you would, you know, honor God's word. Okay, you didn't make a covenant just to the Ten Commandments, but that's a piece of it. That's a part of it. That's important. So you said that you would honor God's word. And so here we have... Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a problem. Because it's really simple, and it's really difficult. Now we got a problem. How do we get around loving our neighbor as ourselves? How do we do that? It's so clear and it's so obvious. How can I not love Manny as myself? Well, what do? We start coming up with differences. That's what we do. Well, I'm not saying we, I'll say me. I start coming up with differences. Well, this person doesn't think this, and this person doesn't think that, and this person makes these choices, and this person makes these choices. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's so simple, you kind of can't fight the battle. That's the problem. And that's why we don't like it, because there's all these reasons out here that it shouldn't be that simple, but it is. Okay, so I'm going to have James come and read to us, and when he's done, he's going to read some scriptures along these lines. And by the way, this is along the lines that we've been talking about. You know, you'll notice it hasn't been big, mysterious stuff, big in-depth. But we've just been talking about God's purpose for us, that simple purpose for us, okay? And James is going to read some scriptures, and I'll read one more, and we'll be finished, okay? So, James.
Thank you, Dave. David made a statement about the things that I wanted to read that I wasn't prepared to teach, and he's right. I know they're from the Spirit, but I'm being shown them in the same vein as I'm going to read them to you, because I'm learning in the same vein that I'm reading, right? You know, I'm not going to profess to know the answer or understand it with clarity, but it was heavy from the Spirit, and I can say that with clarity, right? So if you would turn to Titus, please. You'll turn to Titus chapter 3 and we will just start in verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn or advise a person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. I read this part in Sunday school. I just wanted to read it again. Actually, I'll start in 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, we will start in verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, we'll start in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, which we just read a little while ago that we did nothing to deserve, right? It was by his mercy. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 1 Corinthians 1, please. First Corinthians 1, we're going to start in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there is no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one could say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Romans, please, Romans 5. Now, I'll tell you what little I do know about what I read. That the Lord is speaking to us about our obligation to one another to be united in our pursuit of him. And it's not because of anything we have done or of who we are or what we think or how we've been brought up, but because of his mercy, right? It's very clear. His mercy outlines what we should do. And if we have division or if we have thoughts, we should be patient and humble with one another. We should look to the things that have been given to us, right? Which is salvation, number one, and mercy, number two, and love, number three. Because when you look at all the things that are being said, love binds it all together. Because when we love one another, what to do? It covers a multitude of sins, number one, and it is perfect. It is perfect because it understands we are what we are, but God has called us to be something different. This chapter here in Romans, this is really the one part that I understood. So Romans 5, please. We will start in 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift of that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. It overflowed to the many. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So by what we've done and what we've received and what Christ did, I think it ties all those other things together a little bit. So thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, James. One last scripture, then we're finished. John chapter 13, please. You know, part of the problem with the scriptures that James just read, and what we're reading here about the Ten Commandments. Is that there's not much for our flesh to sink its teeth into. That's the problem. Our flesh wants. It's, you know, it's an ambitious thing. Mine is. It wants. It's greedy. It's lustful. It's kind of wanting something to get a hold of, right? And when you start talking about just loving each other, there's nothing to sink your teeth in with that, right? And it's hard because it's just tough. Let's just read this together, okay? But these are the words that Jesus says to us, and this is what we need to be striving to embrace if we can. So John 13, verse 33. Let me find it here. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. So this is the end of his life. So think about it. If it was the end of your life and you were talking to your children or your best friends, it's the end. I'm not going to be here much longer. You're probably going to say something important, right? Even if it's just, I love you so much. You know, is the last time I'll ever see you maybe... I love you so much. This is the last conversation we might ever have. So I just want you to know what you have meant to me in my life. Whatever it is. Okay, it's going to be a significant discussion. So let's see what the significant discussion is. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot go. You cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, let's think about that for just a second. It sounds great on the surface. Love each other. Oh, okay. But anybody here who's been in a very involved relationship or a marriage or in a family with brothers and sisters, you know, it would be nice if we could just love our sister, love our brother, love our parents, love our spouse, love our children, whatever, right? It just isn't that simple, though. So when he says, a new command I give you, love one another, sounds good. Oh, yeah, love one another. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to love one another. Then we get to know each other, and we don't love each other that much anymore. That's how it works, right? I mean, especially if you've been married, you know what that's like. You get married, you know, you love each other, and then all of a sudden you get to know each other. And it's like, whoa, you know, I chose this person? That was my decision? I feel sorry for Terry. I'm serious, because I know me, right? So I know who she married. Right? I mean, at first, yeah, a nice guy. And then all of a sudden, this crazy religious zealot who, you know, was kind of a, you know, nutcase. That's what it's like for everybody, though. I don't mind saying that about me, because that's how it is for everyone. All right? So, love one another, Jesus said to us. It is the right thing, but it isn't that easy either. Let's read the rest of this. A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Well, what does that mean? Because Jesus gave himself up for us. It wasn't just, oh, Dave, you know, you're such a great guy. I just love you. I'm looking forward to when we spend eternity together in heaven. Yes, that's a part of it. But so is, you know how much I loved you? I let those guys beat me almost to death and then put spikes through my hand and hang me on a cross. I mean, that's love too. And that's part of the problem here. It's not an easy thing that he said to us, but it's such a simple thing that he said to us. But what happens? All of that noise from outside, all that, you know, stuff starts getting in, and we start, you know, filtering things through opinion and our position on stuff. Just love each other. Okay? Just learn to love each other. I mean, Aaron Rose and I have known each other. I've known her her whole life. She loves me. Zach and I know each other. We love each other. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they like everything about me. It just doesn't mean that. So how do we love each other? That's what Jesus was saying. You know, that's it. Figure it out. Figure it out, guys. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So you might read that a couple of times yourself. And I would say go back over the stuff that James read to us too. That's really, really good scripture right there. Let's pray together before we have Zach come up, okay? Father, we just ask you to protect and bless the word that you send to us. Watch over us, Father. Take care of us. Pray that your word goes out and doesn't return void. We know it won't because you said it wouldn't. But help us, Father, to embrace it and to not look away. Father, help us to look intently into your word and hold this scripture tight to our heart and learn what it means. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. So have the folks up north bring their prayer requests first today so that we can pray them out loud.
Yeah, continue to pray for Seth.
You got it, Roger. Roger, anything else? I couldn't hear that.
I believe that's it.
So just Seth. Okay. Thank you, Roger. Okay. If you're on Zoom right now, if you'd like to say your prayer request out loud, we'll bring it before the Lord. All right, that's fine. We'll open up the floor this morning. If you have a prayer request, let's bring it before the Lord. Mark?
It blesses me to see Mike Bonner on the screen this morning.
Mike this morning? Yeah. Good to see you, Mike. Prayer of Thanksgiving for you. Thanks, Cass. Anyone else? Kev. Birthday is today. We got it. Got to pray for that. Luna and Ellie's birthday.
We're praying for birthdays. We could also pray for Manuel's.
For Manny's birthday? What? Yeah? We'll pray for Manuel's birthday.
30.
57. Happy birthday. His 30th birthday. Thank you, Manny. Dad. Absolutely. Oh, sorry. Yes, James.
Prayer for my mom, Amanda Cole, all the stuff they're dealing with passing Amanda Joe. Just getting strengthened, you know. Blessing, that's all.
So we're going to pray for Auntie Sherry and Nicole for the passing of their brother Joe. Thanks for saying that, James. Brighton. That your ear gets healed fast. You got it, bud. Cambria?
Yeah, prayers for my home, for James, and for Ashley.
Okay. We'll pray for Ashton, who's looking for a job, for the home, and for James. Thank you, Cambria. Oh, Faithy's headache. Okay, we'll pray for Faithy. She has a headache. Liz? Traveling. We'll pray for my sister who's traveling down to Fresno. Sorry, yes. Oh. Dave and Tom are traveling. We're going to lift them up. Safe travels. I have a text from Micah to say pray for his family. I think they forgot to share that, so we'll pray for Micah and his family. Lord knows what we need prayer for, but we're going to go before him now because it is the Lord's day, and we're going to pray. So please bow your heads. I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to pray. Okay? Scripture's in John 17, verse 20. Jesus prays for all the believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for these teachings, for your Spirit. We ask that this is a pleasing prayer to you and all the heavenly hosts and all of our family members with you. We lift up Seth. We lift up Micah, Bonnie, Madden. We thank you for Mark saying, good to see Mike on the screen today. We lift up the birthdays that are happening. We lift up the operation for Jack, the doctors this week. We pray for Will, for Rebecca, and for Mason, and everyone in that family, Father. We ask, Father, for a complete healing for Jackson. We thank you for Auntie Sherry and Nicole and the life Joe lived. We lift up Joe to you now for those grieving for him. We lift up Brighton, his ear, for Faithy, her headache, for all the sicknesses and grievances we have, Father. We lift up Ashton and the Pascal family. We ask that Ashton find a new job and bless that household and lift up James. We lift up my sister who's traveling to Fresno. We lift up Dave and Tom who are traveling, Father. We ask for a safe return for your angels to guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.